podcast with the Rotoscopers, episode 27, interview with DreamWorks Animation's Frankie Franco. This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with over 100,000 downloadable titles to choose from. So the holidays are coming up and you can actually get your gifts early this year because Audible is giving you a free audiobook download. Just go to audibletrial.com/therotoscopers for your free audiobook trial. This is the Animation Addicts podcast with the Rotoscopers, Disney, DreamWorks, Pixar, Don Bluth, and everything in between. So we had the amazing opportunity to interview Frankie Franco III, who works at DreamWorks Animation Studios. He's currently a production assistant there, and that's actually his first job at the studio. So it was actually pretty cool to get to interview somebody whose first job in the industry is a production assistant, which is a little different than some of the other people we've interviewed who maybe have been in the industry a long time or their first jobs were in the visual arts. So it's kind of cool to see the other side and perspective. And he definitely dabbles his fingers in all sorts of the production side. He's very instrumental in getting the film ultimately completed and done. So it was great to hear his perspective. He's funny. He's awesome. We actually got a few requests to interview Frack from other listeners who know him from Pottercast. So we are very grateful to Frack for letting us interview him and essentially talk about his job. So here it is and enjoy the interview. Okay, so I don't think we've introduced ourselves since there's two of us here. I'm Morgan. I'm the one who is emailing you.
Hello.
My name is Chelsea.
Hi, Chelsea.
Hello. I have not talked to you at all. So, hi.
Nice to meet you. Sort of.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, I've listened to Pottercast since like 2005.
So nice.
Essentially since it started out. I remember my freshman year of college, that was the first podcast I discovered, and you came around, and so Chelsea never listened to it, but I introduced her. So I'm like, here, you need to know who Frack is. So she listened to a few episodes the past few days.
Oh, cool.
So, okay, so should we just get started?
Let's do it.
Since I know you're seeing your movie tonight, so.
Yeah, sometime I'm going to go see it. I might wait till tomorrow. I'm not sure. Can we go see it with my parents tomorrow and my cousins and aunt and uncle? So I don't know if I want to see it another time, but I think some friends are going to go tonight, so I think I'm going to go anyway. So.
Yeah. So what's the buzz around the studio today? Like, what's a release date like?
Release date is actually really, really cool at the studio because they do like a big, like, it's kind of like they have a swag giveaway, which is typically some CP, some consumer products they develop for it, McDonald's toys, like sometimes candy, sometimes like temporary tattoos. And then they just have like, usually they'd have like a party that's themed towards the movies. And so it's really cool. Like they had glitter tattoos at work because of Sandman and his theme sand. And so that was really fun. They usually theme the food. They have a toast. We have a cross-site toast that we connect with our Redwood City campus up north. And then the director talks, and then Jeffrey will talk, and then the director talks, and then the producers talk, and it's really, really fun.
Ooh, cool.
So everyone's excited, and we're keeping our fingers crossed because we still have to compete with Twilight a bit. Nothing against Twilight, but it's a black hole when it comes
to money and movies to everyone else.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
I'm making Just keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
Because people just want to see it. They don't want to see, and they don't want to see it just once. They want to see it like 18 times.
And it
kind of pulls the same, not the same audience, but like the Twilight fans would enjoy this movie because it has kind of like that whimsical, mystical nature. And there's a pale guy who's kind of like Jack Frost. He's so dreamy and he's like really pale and sparkly.
And so, slightly creepy.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, oh, go see Rise of the Guardians, Twilight people.
I'm going to tell my friends that. Oh, forget Twilight. There's a new frosty pale guy in town. Really?
Who?
I thought Twilight ended. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so we want to do something. This is something we do sometimes between each other and guests. It's called Catch and Fire. It's just kind of like a rapid fire stream of questions we'll ask you just to kind of like break the ice and get to know you. So, Chelsea, you want to do it?
So, are you ready for this?
I think so.
So, you just give just little one-word answers, or if you need to explain yourself, please do. But
all right,
it's about animation, more or less. So.
Okay.
Well then, how about a quick round of catch and fire? Catch and fire? You mean me? You're the only one with enough courage.
All right. So what was the very first animated movie you remember seeing?
Little Mermaid.
Favorite cartoon growing up?
Oh, there's so many, but I'd have to say Gargoyles.
Oh, I love that one. Favorite animated movie?
Dang. I'm so close to Rise of the Guardians. I can't pick that one, even though I really do love it. It's probably a toss-up between The Little Mermaid, because of just nostalgia, and Sleeping Beauty, because it is just gorgeous. Sleeping Beauty is a work of art. It's amazing.
I agree. Favorite animator or artist?
Favorite animator? Probably Glenn Keane.
Okay. Very nice. Classic animation or CGI?
I love 2D, so
yeah.
I like paper, pencil.
I'm liking your answers so far.
Yes, exactly. We're trying to decide.
I'm not supposed to judge, but
we're trying to decide if we're going to let you into our club here.
This is how we filter.
Disney or Pixar?
They're the same now.
Yeah, it's true. Mm-hmm. But
before, I guess. Pixar, but I don't know. It honestly depends on a movie basis, because there are some Disney movies that I really love and some Pixar movies I really hate.
Well, there you go.
I say that on purpose, because most everybody loves Pixar and they have great movies, but some of them I'm not too keen on.
All right. Laika or Studio Ghibli?
Oh. Laika.
Disneyland or Disney World?
Disneyland. I've never been to Disney World, but I hear it's too spread out.
Yeah, I'll agree.
Us West Coasters always pick Disneyland. <I know.
laughs> And it's the original. It's like,
it's true.
It's quaint. It's perfect. It's the way Walt wanted it. Just yeah, exactly. Don't
you can
complain.
Do it in a day. You can walk around and do it in a day. You don't have to. Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't have to pay for like five different admissions for every park.
No.
So.
Except for California Adventure, which have you gone to the new California Adventure?
No, I want to. I've heard amazing things.
Yeah, because the entrance is really, really beautiful. Like, they make it are you familiar with the concept behind it? How mm-hmm. Main Street is like Walt's hometown when he left, and then the entrance to California Adventure is LA when he arrived.
Yeah.
So it's really, really, really beautiful. Very Art Deco, and I love Art Deco, so I was super pumped.
Nice. All right, Disney princesses or princes? Or
princess.
Princesses, okay. Nice. Stitch or Tinkerbell?
Toothless. Real Tinkerbell. The real Tinkerbell.
Okay.
Well, it came out in the last, like, 5 to 10 years. Tinkerbell, Peter Pan, Tinkerbell.
All right.
She's a different character. But that's
no talking Tinkerbell for him.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Exactly.
All right, so people or anthropomorphic?
Oh. Oh, I can't choose. That's a hard one, because it depends.
You have to choose.
Let's go with people, because that includes like mermaids and fairies and stuff.
Oh, all right. Sounds good. Bravo. Songs or no songs?
Songs.
Who would win in a fight? King Fergus or Stoic the Vast?
Stoic the Vast.
Summer releases or winter releases?
As a child, I enjoyed summer releases. As an adult, I enjoy winter releases.
Mm. Ah, nice. Okay. And this is the last one, and it's a toughie. So picture this. You are trapped by terrorists. Let's say that.
That's not what's written there, Chelsea.
I'm just going with it here. I'm just going with it. So you're trapped by terrorists, and in order to get out, you have to watch one of these two movies. Which one do you choose?
Okay.
Return of Jafar or Cinderella 2?
Return of Jafar, because I actually enjoy that, because it came out when I was young enough, and I was like, ooh, a sequel! and there's magic in it. And I was really excited to see Jafar as, like, an evil genie.
Mm.
So I actually enjoy that one, so that one's, yeah, I do that one.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Okay, so I don't think we introduced you, but you are Frack, also known as Frankie Franco III, right?
That is correct.
We had a listener fan mail that came in, and they're like, hey, we really, really want, I'm a fan of Pottercast, and I would love it if you guys interviewed Frack from Pottercast. And I was like, oh, okay. And Chelsea was reading that email, and she misread it, and she read it as Frankie Franco III. So
I was just like going at it. I was on a roll just reading straight through it. I would love it if you would have a Frankie Franco III or third. Frack, as we know him. I think I said Frankie Franco III.
Oh, yeah, I know. Frankie Franco III.
I was like, wait, I definitely did not say the third.
Okay.
What did I say? I don't know.
Frankie Franco III. That's
awesome. So tell us a little bit about you. Just, you know, your very first interview question for jobs, they always ask you, tell us about yourself. So tell us about yourself.
I am a production assistant at DreamWorks Animation. I was on Rise of the Guardians in the animation department as a PA, and now I am on How to Train Your Dragon 2 in animation as a PA. Mm. I went to school for illustration. I'm born and raised in Southern California. I really enjoy coffee and cats, and I like to draw, and I really like Harry Potter. So I do a little, I do a Harry Potter podcast called Pottercast. Yeah.
Perfect. So you mentioned that your background's in art. So tell us a little bit about your interest in art and then how you ultimately ended up at DreamWorks.
I've always drawn. And so I just, when I went to college, I wanted to draw. And so I became an illustration major. After college, I did a myriad of jobs. I was a graphic designer for an architecture firm. I did freelance for a bit, but that was really tough to find work. I taught high school. I mean, well, I substitute high school for a year, which was a lot of fun. And then the second year subbing, I was still technically a substitute, but I had my own class for the whole year because there was a teacher who was out on medical leave and she ended up not coming back. And so by the time she didn't come back, it was well enough into the year that they just gave me the classroom for the rest of the year. So that was a really great experience. Then I worked at Apple for a year. And then I worked at DreamWorks, and I've been there for, it was 2 years on Monday.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah, very much so.
It's been fun.
You say you're a production assistant. What does that job title include?
A production assistant, typically in how it works at DreamWorks, is that they're, each show is broken up into different departments, whether it be like story, layout, animation, character effects, so and so, lighting, all that jazz. And there is typically like a production supervisor, a production coordinator, and a production assistant. And that team of three people, you help manage a team of artists, whatever perspective department. If it's in modeling, you have a team of X amount of models, of modelers. If it's animation, you have a team of X amount of animators. And you just, we're kind of like the oil in the machine. We make sure that we deliver stuff to the studio on time, that the producers are happy. But at the same time, if the artists think that there should be a change to the story or to a character design, we communicate that as well. And so like, I really am just, I assist and I, an assistant. And I just kind of like handle how it worked in my old department, with On Rise of the Guardians is usually my supervisor. If I'm speaking in broad strokes, my supervisor dealt with tomorrow, quote unquote, because she dealt with the schedule and making sure that we're just on top of things. And then like my coordinator made sure that all the stuff that needs to go to the other departments, we get to the other departments. So she pretty much dealt with like yesterday, quote unquote. And then I would deal with today, quote unquote, meaning that if we had meetings, moving stuff around the calendar, building playlists, making sure all that stuff happens. So it really is a huge team effort, and they really encourage that at DreamWorks, and it's a really great experience. And so your job kind of shapes, and what's interesting about it is that your job shape, it's different at different times in production. It's different with different people. And so like the general strokes is I help manage a team of artists, and I manage calendars a lot.
Cool. So I know that from your Instagram or your Twitter, it seems your day starts with usually some sort of coffee and sketching or kind of hanging out at DreamWorks in their cafe or outside. So give us the typical day in the life of a production assistant or what you would typically do from waking up to, I guess, leaving work.
Okay, well, I'm blessed enough to live extremely close to work. I live like 2 miles away. So on a perfect day, I bike to work, and I try to bike most days of the week. This last week, anyway, I try to my story. I usually bike to work. There's a coffee shop that I like down the street that I'll stop there and get some. They have really good espresso. If I can drink espresso without having to put cream in it, it's good espresso, and I don't have to put cream in it there. And so I just have some espresso. I read. I'll Instagram. If I have time, I'll sketch a little bit. Then I head into work. It takes me about like 15 minutes to bike to work. Head into work. I go to my desk. I log in, check my emails. I will check in with my supervisor and my coordinator. We see what the game plan for the day is. Each day is different depending on the day of the week, because sometimes we have daily, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we have meetings with producers, all that fun stuff. I usually eat lunch with some friends on campus. They have a great commissary on campus that we get to eat for free. And we have a myriad of options. We have a salad bar, a sandwich bar, a soup bar, a main entree that the chef makes, a chef special, which he just makes up whatever he wants.
Everything that's left over.
Not that kind of.
leftover, but it's like creative. It's like we had chicken, like they'll have like fish one day, and then the next day it'll be like fish tacos. I'm like, oh, cool. So like it's just being responsible with what we have and
exactly.
not being, but yes, sometimes leftovers, but it's always in a new kind of creative way. And sometimes I like the taco version of it better than the normal version of it. Cause it's just, it has a little more seasoning in it and all that fun stuff. And they have a grill as well that has like a full barbecue, and they have vegetarian options, which are fun. I like to get, I'm not a vegetarian, but I like to get the garden burgers or the Chipotle black bean burger. If you ever have an opportunity to eat those, they're delicious. After lunch, depending on the day, we have meetings. I'll typically, you know, work, take notes, whatever I need to do. I'll get coffee in the afternoon again. We'll just, they have a Starbucks on campus, and I walk down there, and I know all the baristas in there, and they're like my best friends, and we talk. So they give me my coffee, and then I go back upstairs, and I attend to whatever the needs are. And then I check in with my supervisor and coordinator at the end of the day, see what we need to get done, if I need to stay late. And then I bike home.
Cool. How often do you end up staying late, do you think?
At the beginning of a production, not that bad. You know, it's nice. You get to leave around 6. Towards the end, when it gets a little busier, we'll see you later. We'll stay like till 7, 7:30. Mm-hmm. There were occasions on Rise of the Guardians where we had to stay late, but... It was fun though, because it's like everyone's there. It's just like, and we get to order dinner, and so then they deliver dinner to us, and we get to order dinner from like this huge menu we can pick from all these different places that would. There's like this service online that coordinates dinners for like different studios, and so like we can order from like Cheesecake Factory, we can order from BJ's. It's a lot of fun.
Ooh. So you mentioned like sometimes towards the end of production things sort of hours get longer. Is that typical? Like, has there ever been any films maybe in DreamWorks history where they're on schedule and ready a few months before, and so people don't work crazy hours?
Well, I mean, they're all like, the working those hours isn't off schedule. Like, it's just, it's part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
DreamWorks, because DreamWorks likes to keep it open. Like, if there is a story note that we get late in the production and it's valid to meet, we're going to meet it. We're not mm-hmm. going to be like, oh, we can't. Because, like, if it serves the story better, we're going to serve the story better. And so we're not really off schedule, because we have to be on schedule.
Yeah,
There's so much, like, just everyone's time and money's at stake, and we have release dates already. So these release dates are projected. And if something has to push, that can be very problematic. And so usually it's the producers, like, the producers have that burden of making sure that we stay on schedule and stuff like that. And typically they do... I mean, I've only worked on Guardians. That's my first film. And that was great. Like, our schedule was so well managed that I think over the 2 years that I worked on that movie, I worked maybe 2 or 3 Saturdays. And
yeah.
I've heard people talk where, whether at DreamWorks or whether at Disney or just in the visual effects industry, like towards the end of a film, you work 6 days a week.
Yeah.
For like a month or two. And I prepared myself mentally for that, because it does get taxing after a while, because you just get tired, you know. And I had to maybe work, they just sprinkled Saturdays here and there, and so they were very intelligent about orchestrating that, and I was really impressed by that.
So what's your favorite part about working for DreamWorks?
My favorite part about working for DreamWorks, and I guess this is my favorite part of the day, if we have like when it gets to that point in the day, like in production, we have dailies every day. I love dailies. I love sitting in there. And cause like what we do, how we worked on Guardians is I would drive the dailies, and then my coordinator, she would take the notes. And so I would sit there, and I would build a playlist of all the shots that the artists submitted and all that kind of stuff. And then we'd get in the room, and then we'd go down the agenda, and we'd just show the shots and get the notes on each shot and what the director wanted, didn't like, what he did like. And it was wonderful. Like, I love, like, when I rent a DVD, I typically watch the movie twice. I'll watch the movie, and then I'll watch it again with commentary if it has it. I love listening to that kind of stuff.
We're soulmates.
It's just like extra exposition. It's wonderful. But I got 2 years of it, like, every day. Like, I got so, it was wonderful. Like, I love sitting in there listening to the people making decisions, and just giving, like, and how, like, sometimes how the schedule
has to affect the creative, and how sometimes the creative affects the schedule and all that kind of fun stuff. It's like, it's really interesting, and how sometimes some of the most brilliant ideas creatively come out from the fact that like X needs to happen. And so then it gets a box, and then in that box, this wonderful thing came out of that tension. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so that's my favorite. I love just sitting in there and listening to them talk and all that kind of fun stuff.
So if you could describe like the culture of DreamWorks Animation Studio in three words, what would that be?
Three words. It would be, not to sound cheesy, but family. I want a better word than creative. I guess I'll settle with that one. No, it's family, storytelling, and independence.
Why do you say independence?
It's just because we're like, DreamWorks Animation is one of the last independent animation studios. Like, there's like a handful of them out there now, and it's really cool that we don't have the benefits of some of the bigger studios, like with consumer products and like all that kind of stuff. But it's really great that we get to make the movies that we want to make. I don't know, it's awesome. Like, you're at studio and you like, I see Jeffrey walk around, the CEO. He's the K in DreamWorks, SKG.
Hey, Katzenberg.
Oh my gosh, that is so cool. Like, we had a company update a few months back, and it was really exciting. They talked about our upcoming slate and stuff. And he sent an email out about how he enjoyed it. And like, I was like, you know what? I just replied to it. I'm like, you know what? Thank you so much for like being so, like, he's like being so candid with us and sharing this stuff. It really makes me realize, even as a PA, that I'm really part of this like family and this team. And then he replied back like 2 minutes later, like, you are, happy face, with an explanation. Aww. I was like, oh my gosh. Like, when I see people, like, I don't know, I couldn't be around celebrities very much because they just geek out. I'm like, oh.
So, Rise of the Guardians. So we saw it last night, and I was very, very impressed. I wasn't quite sure what to expect going into it.
What did you expect going into it?
Well,
honestly, let's go for this one.
Let's see. I thought it would be more Christmassy based than it was, and I didn't think it would be. I guess they kind of gave these hints that it was going to be like really Jack's story, but I guess I didn't think so much that it was going to be about him. But what overwhelmed me was the storytelling, like one of the three words used to describe DreamWorks, that it was just an overall incredible story that they told, and they really wove all these different elements into it and Jack's backstory and everything. And I left like really satisfied, you know, because I kind of went into it. I'm like, OK, are they making a holiday movie just so they can replay it every Christmas
and Easter
and get a bunch of, you know, revenue off it? Like, that was being the really cynical. But that was a long time ago, a few
months
ago. But all my expectations were, I guess they were kind of mid-level, and I was very, very impressed. Like, I think it was one of the best films of the year.
Yeah, the storyline, like, for me personally, I'm more of a traditionalist, and like, looking at all of the character designs, I was just really worried about it. I was just like, oh, I don't like tattooed Santa. I don't think I'm going to go for that one. Where's my holly jolly Coca-Cola Santa, you know? And it's just all these different things just kind of was like, I don't know if I'm going to like this. But yeah, when I went in, I had that type going through, but as I watched it, and it really did a good job at just like taking you and, like, it doesn't matter any of the previous thoughts you had about these characters. You were looking at these characters, and it wasn't we're trying to play off of other people's ideas or of what they are. It's just like, okay, here's our movie. Here is our story. Mm-hmm. And this is how it's going to be going. And that was really cool. I believed it, and I was in it.
We're believers.
We're believers.
Aw, that's the whole point of the movie.
Yay.
Are you guys familiar with how Bill Joyce came up with the idea?
No, I want to read the book, though.
Yeah.
Enlighten us.
Well, how he came up with the concept is that, I guess one night he was putting his daughter to sleep or something, and she asked if Santa Claus knew the Easter Bunny. And he kind of just sparked in you. He was like, huh. And so he told her, yeah, they do know each other. And that's where the whole thing came from. Like, it was just the fact that these mythological creatures and figures know each other. And so it just kind of started from there.
Huh.
They did a great job. They, meaning you guys. Yay.
Like, it was great. It was a really cool experience.
So when you first got on the project, like, what were your thoughts? Because it'd probably been in development a little while.
Yeah, I've been in development for a little while. My best friend works there, and so he's worked there for a few more years than me. And so occasionally I would go see like a movie on campus, and then he'd kind of like show me around, like on the first floor, and show me some paintings and whatnot that are by the bathrooms and stuff. And they had some paintings of Rise of the Guardians, and I was like, oh, those are cool, because it looks kind of very storybooky. And then so when I heard that that was the movie they were hiring for when I applied, I got really excited because I love fairy tales. I love them to death. And I love when you can take something I love adaptations of things. So if you could take something and kind of like modify it or just update it or just kind of like put your own twist on it, I like that in and of itself. So this was two things that I loved. It was a fairy tales and like a modern twist or your own adaptation on it. And so I was like really pumped. And then when I got the job, I got like a little, like a welcome packet that had all like the character designs in them. And then I fell head over heels for it because from a character design point of view, these characters are amazing in my opinion. Like, especially like Santa Claus is fun. Like they did a great job at like keeping true to the Santa Claus archetypes, but not being the Coca-Cola Santa, you know, like the black fur trim. That was clever. They gave him the Russian hat versus the Santa hat. Easter Bunny was going through a redesign at the time, so I didn't see him until later. Cause he went through a lot of different redesigns. The Sandman is beautiful. Like, it's so clever because like when you think of Sandman, a lot of people weren't even familiar with Sandman before. Like I've talked to a bunch of friends who are like, what is the Sandman? I'm like, you've never heard of the Sandman? Like, no. And I'm like, oh, he's the guy that brings you dreams. He puts dust in your eyes and he makes you fall asleep. And that's how you get the sleep on your eyes. I'm like, oh, okay. his design was just beautiful. Like that golden sand with like the little sun silhouette and then the Tooth Fairy. I love her so much. Like the fact that they were smart enough to give her a tail with an interesting silhouette because her wings are in blur for the most of the movie. Uh-huh. And think of a fairy, the interesting silhouette of a fairy from a design point of view are its wings.
Yeah.
But she's flapping so fast, like a hummingbird, that her, or like a dragonfly, that her wings are just going to be like this shimmer, which is gorgeous because it's just like this distortion and like shimmer of the background behind her. But the fact they gave her this really interesting like tail was like a peacock tail, but not really. You know, it was great. And then Jack Frost was super cool with his like colonial pants and his like his hoodie that had like
I know
so cold. I'm like,
So who's your favorite character?
It's like picking your favorite kid. I don't know.
Well, who do you relate the most to?
If I had to pick, it would probably be the Sandman. I love the Sandman.
Interesting.
I don't know who I relate to most because the Sandman is really quiet and I'm very loud. So, I like Jack. I do like all the characters, but if I had to pick, it'd be Sandman would be like just a grain of sand, if you will, above the others.
Oh yeah. Okay, so what's your favorite scene in the film?
My favorite scene. My favorite scene is Easter Destroyed.
Oh. How come?
I really, really love how that's acted and how it plays out, and I love Bunny's monologue in that. Like, not to be too explicit, but when he talks about how Easter's for hope and da-da-da-da-da-da, like, first of all, that scene is just wonderfully lit. It's beautiful. And I just really, really like what he has to say. It's arguably the worst scene in the movie, too, because it's just so horrible and hard to watch, but it's just done so well.
Yeah. I really like that scene, and I loved his speech, but it like got me thinking of, you know, hope. And there was a very obvious connection about Easter and,
right,
and what it really means. So what was, I mean, I know you're a Christian.
Yeah.
And so how did they play off? I mean, these holidays, Christmas and Easter are they're meant to celebrate the birth of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. And then obviously Santa and the Easter Bunny are not spiritually related in a way to that. So how did that get handled.
The dialogue there.
Yeah.
Like, being in animation, my department is in the middle of the pipeline, and so I don't deal with if these things should be in the movie. We deal with how they're handled in the movie, yeah. if that's a clear enough distinction. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not too sure. And, like, obviously, like, I gravitate towards that scene because I thought they did a great job of just communicating what hope is. Mm-hmm. And you can, like... For me personally, of course, I'm going to see that through the eyes of my faith and my beliefs and how I choose to live my life. But at the same time, it wasn't like, I don't know. I can't speak authority because I wasn't, you know, I had nothing to do with that. But it was very intelligent and specific storytelling in the sense that they didn't divide the audience by saying you have to hope in this or
yeah,
hope
yeah.
in that. It was just like hope. And so people can pick up that word and that term and place it wherever they have significance and value in their life. You know what I mean? And so it was just, I really enjoyed the fact that it was very bold and to say, like, it's about hope, new beginnings, blah, blah, blah. And as a Christian, I gravitate towards that right away. I'm like, that's awesome. Like, that is very sound advice. And it goes right along the lines of what I choose to believe and how to live my life. So, like, that was super exciting and cool for me. And with, like, same with the Christmas one, like, North is about wonder. And so that has a less connotation to, like, Christ's birth than hope being Christ's resurrection. Like, that, those tie very directly, in my opinion. But it was, you know, it's just, that's how I saw it, because that's where my hope is as an individual. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Very well said. So what's next for FRAC? So you mentioned that you're doing... How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Yes, which is really cool, but I can't say anything about it. Sorry.
At least you can tell us what you're doing. Like, they all, sometimes we do interviews and they're like, something special.
Yeah. Like, we released it and I'm like, oh crap. I'm like, I Googled it and I'm like, oh yeah, okay, it's on IMDb, so I can say.
Yeah.
And so I'm doing that, and I'll be on that for however long, like a year and a half. And then from there, it's just kind of, I don't know.
So you're an artist, but you're working in the production side. So how does that balance? Are you, I mean, do you only get to draw, you know, in your breaks, or do you have some time to kind of express yourself on the job?
Yeah. Like, it's fun because as a production assistant, we get some of the fun stuff. Like, typically on the floor, when you're working on a film, they'll have like a board where all the animators put pictures up, and like, just feel like you just put like Guardians Animation, and then we put their pictures up of whoever's on our crew. And so for our movie, I try to make it look like it was part of Tooth's palace, like her wall. And so I put little circle, you know how like little drawers have their pictures on the end of them?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Put pictures of them in circles. And if you get a chance to look through the art book, you really should. But in Tooth Palace, you know those towers that hang from the inside the mountain? Each one has a different color, and it's each color represents a different continent from around the world.
Hmm.
And
oh, wow.
We have a lot of international like animators and stuff. And so I put them like with the little tiles around them to match their color of where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
And I made, I sculpted these three little teeny baby teeth, like little bitty mini tooth, like, and they were like putting up their pictures. And so they're little teeny sculptures. And so I get to do that kind of stuff every once in a while. For Halloween, I tried to dress up as a character from the movie I'm working on. Last year, I dressed up like one of the elves. And this year, I dressed up as Toothless, kind of. I get actual draw, a little bit of the drawing stuff, like whatever. And at lunch, they have like drawing classes and stuff. But what's interesting, and that I did not really, I guess, expect is the right word, is... how creative the production side is. It's really interesting because like we help facilitate all these like artists make the movie. And so you have to actually think really creatively to problem solve, whether it's something as sterile or as clinical as a meeting, just moving stuff around the calendar to get like six people in the same room who have crazy schedules. Or sometimes it's just a matter of, like my supervisor and like our head of character animation, they go through, and when we get a sequence into our department, they have to cast that sequence. And so it's like, okay, we need to give this shot to this animator and this to that animator and blah, blah, blah. But this animator is good at this kind of thing. This animator is really good at this. And so, like, there's some animators who just have this natural eye for, like, physics, or how animals move, or who are just really good, like, emotional actors, or some who are just really kind of like they can really communicate humor really well. And it's cool being able to see the talent and potential in other people and see the needs of the story and put the people who have that skill set to fulfill that need in the story. It's really interesting, and I really, really enjoy it. It's really crazy.
Okay, so we wanted to, do you have any last thoughts or things you want to tell people before we go?
I would love to tell people to go see it. Steven Spielberg said that it's going to be a classic. So that's exciting.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Steve. yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at FrackFracco, FrakFraco. It's pretty much Frank Franco, but just ditch the ends. So my Instagram is the same thing. My blog is the same thing. It's FrackFracco at blogspot.com. If you just search FrackFracco on Google, if there's any type of social media associated with that, follow it.
Classic.
Will do. Well, we wanted to thank you so much for doing this interview with us and talking to us about Rise of the Guardians, because it really pumped me up hearing, you know, the insider. I'm like you. I love commentaries, and I just love hearing and backstories and what went on in production and looking at concept art. So it's cool to hear someone who was involved and on a level that we don't really get to hear much about, which is a production assistant, which has a major role in getting everything done. So it was cool to hear your story. So thank you so much.
Thank you. It was. Oh, and this is kind of fun. Isn't you like that? If you go to the DreamWorks Tumblr, a lot of the story artists from the film drew little comics about different characters. Like, you see, like, almost how Pitch kind of, not Pitch is turning, but we get to see a story before Pitch was a complete bad guy. You get to see how Jack Frost learned how to fly. You get to see, like, Sandman and a cat, which is two of my favorite things ever. So yeah, you should go check out the DreamWorks Tumblr. There's a lot of beautiful artwork on there.
Cool, that's awesome. Yeah. I will.
Well, thanks, Frankie Franco 3. We appreciate it. Seriously, it was such a good time.
Oh, I had a blast. Thank you so much for inviting me on the show.
No problem.
We'll definitely call you up some other time just to bug you, just in case something comes up.
Ever need some B-roll or something to talk in the background, I'm your man.
All right, done.
Perfect.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye.